today and forever. And we put our trust in him today as well. Amen. Brother Aaron, if you'd turn this monitor on as well, that would be good. Restoration. I'm thankful that is a powerful topic that the Lord is very adept, very good at accomplishing, and how he has demonstrated that restoration in our lives. Amen. In fact, that's part of our SHARE acronym. Our SHARE groups stands for spiritual help, affirmation, restoration, and evangelism. And that's how we came up with that aspect of SHARE. Thank God for the restoration. The focus points out, I will seek God to restore the broken parts of my life. And things do become broken. There are situations that break, that fall apart, that need mending. And oftentimes there's not a thing we can do about it. But I'm glad the Lord, by his power, is able to bring about those results. Amen. In Ezekiel 37 and 14, the key verse here taken from chapter 37, which has this whole aspect of restoration in the valley. The Lord says, I will put my spirit within you. Amen. Thank God that he's kept that promise. And ye shall live. The life that the Spirit brings is such a blessing, such a power. And all that goes with it is just amazing. And I like the way he emphasizes, you're going to know that I have spoken it and performed it. Thank the Lord. So many times we hear words, we hear promises, we hear statements, but the performance of those things, getting it done, the fulfillment of it, long ways away. But the Lord declaring here both, I've spoken it, I will perform it. And thank God that that's what we know the Lord is able to do. Amen. Restoration is something that happens a lot in real estate. There are a lot of programs. You go into the bank, and while you're waiting in line in the bank, there's the monitors up there that are showing a program that talking about restoring homes. And there's a whole industry in that aspect of restoring home, not just new construction, but restoration. Have you ever restored furniture? Sometimes it's easier just to go buy new. But if that table or chair or desk or whatever it is an heirloom and it has sentimental value, you're going to spend time restoring that. And then what a beautiful piece of furniture it is. People restore cars. Have you seen the old pickup that runs back and forth? Every now and then we'll see it on the road as we're going to and from Soldotna, and you'll see that old pickup. Here he goes down the road. Somebody took time to restore that. Because it's from the early part of 1900s. So the parts being available and then the work going into it, restoration is pretty amazing. I read about a fighter from the World War II era being found in Greenland, I believe it was. The ice melted. And the plane was discovered, you know, after it had pancaked down and the crew rescued, and they just left the plane there. Over the years, the snow and ice covered it. And then it was uncovered, and somebody took the time and made the effort to restore it. I mean, to the point that the report, and this is Paul Harvey's report now, it's got to be true, right, if Paul Harvey said it. They even used the air out of the tires and put it into the restored model. That's getting pretty involved. The restoration. Thank God the Lord restores what is eternal. Those things are going to fall into disrepair again. Those things are going to waste away. But your soul, your spirit lives on forever. And that's what the Lord is interested in restoring. Praise God. In Revelation 21 and 5, what an incredible promise that the Lord declares, I will make all things new. And thank God he begins that process in you and me in the new birth and the salvation experience that he brings. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, any woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And thank God that process is ongoing, isn't it? Something that just continues, the Lord doing the work within us. Incredible restoration. Praise God. The story that I heard from my boss, I worked in a grocery store when I pastored in Hoonah, and my boss and his brother operated both the grocery store and cold storage. They bought salmon and halibut, you know, the fish and so on from the fishermen local, and he was on a buyer out on the what we call the fair weather grounds, which is out in the ocean. And he had a large boat and ice and all of that, you know, and he was a tender. And the smaller fishing boats, the trawlers mainly, would tie up and deliver to him. Well, he's out there on the ocean, the Gulf of Alaska, off the shore there. And here is another boat going in circles. They're watching that and gotten closer, and no crew aboard. And their boat was larger, and so to follow in the circle, they couldn't keep up with it. So they went off on a tangent. You remember your geometry? They're off on a tangent, and they timed it just right. And he came alongside, and my boss made the jump onto the boat that was going in circles. No crew aboard. They had tied the wheel over, shoved the throttles forward, and left it. Insurance fraud. And so salvage on the high seas is different. It's yours. And so, so my boss, you know, got the vessel underway and took it back to port. And oh my, there were some embarrassed folks. And I'm not sure how the salvage worked out on that situation, but they were hoping that the vessel would sink and that an insurance claim could be made. Kind of a tough way to make some money out of that situation, isn't it? And they certainly didn't count on Stan, or Steamy. Steamy was his nickname because he was on the boat a lot. Steamy didn't count on him jumping across from his boat. And, you know, imagine that out on the Gulf of Alaska now, the seas being what they are. And I don't think it's ever flat calm out there. And interesting here. The Nuisance 4. That was the name of his boat. So he made a nuisance of himself as far as that situation was concerned. But I'm thankful the Lord is able to seek and to save that which was lost. And lost is a very accurate description. They were hoping that boat would be lost in a storm, in a sinking, whatever. But I'm glad the Lord is able to bring about a change in our lives. Here, Ezekiel is shown a vision, and he's taken to a valley, and there are a lot of beautiful valleys that you could see. I'm sure those of you who have been out hunting, you've been out hiking, you've seen a beautiful valley, and either the sunrise or the sunset on that valley, and all of the flora and fauna and so on, beautiful. This valley didn't have that appearance that Ezekiel saw the hand of the Lord. It was a valley that was full of dry bones. And the vision could easily have been a reality, given the number of battles that had been fought and the armies that opposed each other, the sheer slaughter. As we look in the times of the kings, Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and different ones. Remember the angel destroying 185,000 in one night. So a valley full of dry bones really could be a reality, but in this case, it's a vision. He's looking at it, and it's not a pleasant sight, I'm sure. But I like the way Ezekiel 37:1, if you want to hold Ezekiel 37 open, the verse 1 is not in your, I don't think it's in your text. No, it starts at verse 11. But verse 1, even though he's looking at a valley full of bones, I'm thankful that the scripture there says, he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. As long as the Spirit of the Lord is carrying you, you can endure a lot of things. You can see the outcome that's going to be positive in a lot of things. Amen. And thank God for the hand of the Lord to minister. Now, also in your text is John 10:10. And the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It would be great if we could say the thief cometh not, period. And we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be on guard. But he does come, and his purpose in coming is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There are a lot of cultures. There are a lot of ethnic groups. There are a lot of people who can look back on their history and see a lot of inequities, a lot of hurt and damage and destruction. Native Americans, for example, numbered, goodness, in the millions. But when Europeans made their entrance and to North America, and diseases were brought that had, there was no immunity to them, by the thousands, they perished. Groups like African Americans who were brought to America as slaves. You know, people in Europe down through the years who have been involved in war. I mean, any group can look back on their past, their history, and say, we've been done wrong and all of this. But nothing matches what the thief can do to all people. Steal, kill, destroy. And that enemy is still at large. That enemy is still attacking and destroying. Where inequities of people may have been settled, things may have gone on, there's still alcohol, there's still drugs, there's still adultery, there's still orphans, there's still all of this junk that the thief very gleefully, very gladly dispenses upon the whole population. That's the enemy we need to be concerned about. That's the one we need to identify and say, you're not going to get me. You're not going to get my family. You're not going to get my church. Amen. And stand with a recognition of how the power of God is going to be able to stand with you. Amen. And thank God, though there are those who, you know, that word kill has a meaning in the Greek, in including sacrifice. And sometimes sacrifice can be construed as a waste. And the devil certainly wants people to waste time, waste their lives, waste opportunity, waste talent and ability. And the devil focuses on that aspect. And somebody said, well, don't kill time. You know, we use that phrase, just going to kill time. Don't kill time, work it to death. Well, the devil would want people to waste their time. We were in the restaurant yesterday, and we could overhear conversation of young adults behind us in the next table. And they weren't talking about jobs. They mentioned children. They had family. They weren't talking about the weather and the opportunities and so on. What they were talking about was games. Not football games or baseball games. They were talking about electronic games. And the time, well, they didn't talk about the time that they spent on it, but that's what came through my mind. How much time is used in those games? Now, you obviously have to be talented to reach various levels. I probably wouldn't even make it through the first level. But there are those who are advanced and able to play even internationally. It's amazing. You can sit down. I don't know. I've never done it, but I've heard it being done. You can sit down and play somebody in Britain. Play a game, and they're on their computer, you're on your computer, and you're competing against them on this game. And I think about the time, the time involved. Because you can't restore that. It's going to be gone. It's gone. But I'm thankful that the Lord is able to help us and redeem us and bring about a change. Amen. The word destroy. Destroy. It means abolish, ruin, render useless. Steal, obviously, has that aspect of theft, of depriving you of what is rightfully yours. And the devil does all of those things. But thank God, our God is a God who restores. Amen. Now, let's get back to this valley of bones. And all of the aspects are there. Man's cruelty to man. That's been something that has continued. You know, where does mercy come from? Where does compassion come from? Where does the long-suffering, all of the aspects that we describe the Lord in, how does that get passed on to man? Because of the teaching, because of the desire to be like the Lord, to be changed, and to manifest these fruit of the Spirit, and to show a God-likeness that is important. That doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is the opposite. And so you have the mass graves in Poland. You have the killing fields in Cambodia. You have the ethnic cleansing in Croatia and Serbia. And the Hutus and Tutus in Africa, and their names sound funny, but what happened there is not funny. Thousands, even millions, killed. Man's cruelty to man is not something that we can just slough off and say, oh well. No, we recognize a valley of dry bones could easily happen. in our world today. But thank God, the Lord is able to make the difference and do a great work. Praise God. And so, the Lord shows this scene to Ezekiel. And the Lord asks him, can these bones live? Now, Ezekiel has no remedy, does he? He has no way to say, yeah, Lord, I can fix it. I can, yeah, let me get my crew here and we'll, how many bones in a human body? Quite a few, huh? 212. From the little tiny bone in your ear to a big bone in your leg. Yeah, Ezekiel says, let me get my crew over here. There's only 200 plus bones. We'll fix it up here. We'll get it going. He had no remedy. He had no answer. Just like man today has no way to put things back together the way they need to be. And our trust needs to be in the Lord. Our heart and our desire needs to be in the things of God. Amen. Those bones were very dry. And he knew the situation required divine intervention. And so he said, thou knowest. Thou knowest. O Lord God, thou knowest. Praise God. And it's like the Lord is presenting a situation where he knew only divine intervention was going to be the answer. And Ezekiel had to own up to the fact that, nope, I can't do it. I don't have an answer. Amen. And lots of times we're faced with those situations, aren't we? Lots of times we wonder if things can be restored, if things can be put back together. I'm not talking about Humpty Dumpty. I'm talking about things that really matter. Things that hurt. Things that feel like, oh, God, how many tears am I going to cry about this situation? But God can restore. Amen. And thank the Lord for the power that God can bring about. A preacher told about a painting that he saw. And it's a country scene, beautiful mountains, and in the valley was a house, or what used to be a house. And it was smoldering, and the flames had died down, and the only thing left of that cabin was a stone chimney standing up. And an elderly man standing there, and a young boy at his side who was in tears. This is all depicted in the painting. And the caption on the painting, as they're standing there in this beautiful valley, but the house has been burned down, and all that's left is the chimney standing, the caption is, hush, child, God ain't dead. In other words, the Lord is still in control. The Lord is still the one we look to. Circumstances changes. Things change, but God doesn't. And he ain't dead. Praise God. And we put our trust in him to do the work. Thank the Lord. He is the restorer. Amen. And thank God that's the power that we put our trust in and do what he says. Preach to those dry bones. What will I say? Well, the Lord's provided the answer, hasn't he? We don't need to stray from his word. We don't need to modernize it. We don't need to make it relevant. We don't need to make it up to date. Stay with what the word of God says, and he will honor his word. He will bring the results of his word. Amen. And thank God, Ezekiel had good enough sense to do what the Lord told him to do. You know, he's not in the valley of despair. He's not in the valley of despondency and depression. He's simply in the valley that God's showing him. This is chapter 37. There's been 36 chapters already where Ezekiel has seen the hand of God and heard the voice of the Lord and seen his power. He knows good and well what God can do. And that's why he said, you know, Lord. And he probably was anxious and waiting to see, what are you going to do, God? How are you going to answer it? How's this going to work out? And he was anticipating with faith and encouragement what God can do. And that's the same thing you can do. Obey God and speak His word to situations that may seem completely helpless and hopeless. But God, amen, thank the Lord, even though the valley, here's some fill-ins, even though the valley was full of dry bones and an unresponsive congregation, thank the Lord, he obeyed what God told him to do, and a dead congregation responded. That noise and that shaking. Praise God, Ezekiel 37:7. A noise and a shaking. Praise the Lord. And Ezekiel watches what the Lord is able to do. And that noise and that shaking, when muscles and flesh came together, praise God, and skin covered the bodies, and this incredible demonstration of God's power is what Ezekiel was waiting for and anticipating that the Lord is going to do the work. Amen. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do that kind of a process. The Lord works in a process. You got to do your part in the process. The Lord could have snapped His fingers and winked His eye, did whatever He wanted, waved, you know, the finger of God that Pharaoh and the magicians had to recognize when all of the plagues were going on. They said, "This is the finger of God." Amen. The Lord could have demonstrated it again, but He wanted Ezekiel to preach. Do your part. There's a process. And thank God the Lord is able to demonstrate His power as you respond to His direction and see the miracle get underway. Amen. Now, they came together, but there was no breath. They're laying there. Now the valley of dry bones is like a morgue. Still ghastly. Still morbid. but now God gives him another direction to prophesy again, to preach again. You know, keep proclaiming what God has spoken. Keep with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. It's going to bring the results that you're looking for. It's going to bring about the hand of the Lord and the declaration that He desires. Proclaiming God's commands with confidence is what the devil hates. He's trying to disrupt you. He's trying to get you off base. He's trying to remove you from the foundation, convincing you there's got to be another way. There's got to be another alternative. There's got to be a better option. There isn't. Stay with the Word of God. Amen. And thank the Lord. When you obey, when you follow through, the Lord fulfills His end of the deal. Praise God. And life came into them, and they stood as an exceeding great army. And again, how powerful that must have been for Ezekiel to see in the vision. And then we have the focus verse again, Ezekiel 37:14, the Lord declaring, Israel, this was an object lesson. Israel, I can put my spirit in you, and you shall live. You know, that's a promise. This is the fourth time that Ezekiel is writing it down. It's not something new. It's a demonstration of what the Lord said three times before. You go back to, we won't take the time here. Our time's going really fast. 36, 26, and 27, the Spirit of the Lord is promised. 18 and 31, the Spirit of the Lord is promised. 11 and 19. So this is the fourth time that the Lord is emphasizing, I'll put my spirit in you, and you're going to live. Praise God. And thank the Lord that that truly is how the Lord desires to do the work in our lives and to bring about a change. Okay, so some more fill-ins here. A miraculous wind came as a result of Ezekiel's preaching. And that army stood revived and restored. And that reminds us of a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. We jump all the way to John chapter 3. And Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the Jews means he's knowledgeable about a lot of scripture. If you were to ask him, hey, if you were to go to the scroll of Ezekiel and come to the story about the Valley of Dry Bones, what happened? He'd be able to tell you. He'd be familiar with it. And, you know, the sound and the shaking and the wind. And so now he's going to hear it again because the Lord is going to tell him about the new birth. John 3 and 8. You know, he's telling him about the wind. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound. You've been hearing the sound of the wind here the last few days? Been pretty pretty strong. We woke up in the night with the door slamming and the blinds wiggling. You know, I got to get up and shut windows and so on. Because the sound of that wind is making a difference. So the Lord's saying there's a sound of it. He said, you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone, I'm glad everyone is included here. I'm glad there's not a, you know, just a certain group. There's not just a certain gender, but it's everyone that can be born of the Spirit. Okay, so born of the Spirit is what he's emphasizing here. There's going to be sound, and everyone can experience it. So we go to Acts chapter 2, and we know from chapter 1, there's 120 who are sitting there in that upper room. Imagine this being the upper room. We could squeeze 120 in here. And there would be women, and there would be men. And that's what this scripture says, right? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. The brothers of Jesus were there. The 11 disciples. And so they're all praising God. They're all anticipating the outpouring of the Spirit. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, imagine the excitement. Imagine the thrill. Well, you've received it. You know what it feels like. You know how powerful it is. Praise God. I'm thankful it's still happening. It's still real. The blessings of the Lord are still coming forth. Praise God. So Nicodemus is told to be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is saying, how? How can a man, mother's womb, not going to work? How? But the Lord lets him know it's water and spirit. And both those elements were there in Acts chapter 2. The waters of baptism in the powerful name of Jesus and the move of the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, Joel 2:28 is what Peter quotes. I like the way Peter quotes the Word of God. I like the way he goes to Joel 2. He goes to a couple of passages in the Psalms. That was the only scripture they had, so he had to use those scriptures. But the point is, he stayed with the Word of God. Yes. Amen. And Joel 2:28 is what we emphasize there, rightly so, because that's what he quoted. Shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit. It's going to be in an abundance. It's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. Praise God. But at the same time that we're emphasizing verse 28, back up to verse 25 and look at the word there that the scripture says. What does it say, Brother Greg? restore. God can restore. Amen. And then look at verse 26, because the power of that fulfillment begins to become evident. You're going to eat in plenty. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to praise the name of the Lord your God. He's dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Woo! That's some good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Devil, you're not going to stop it. Devil, you're not going to destroy it. You're not going to kill it. You're not going to steal it. Praise God. Our God is a God of restoration. And he brings that power forth again and again. And thank the Lord that that's what we put our trust in, because we know his abundance is what he has promised. I am. I like that, I am. Now, usually the I am has a noun attached to it. I am the door. I am the light. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the good shepherd. Usually that's how it's described. Here now is action. I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. The I am can't be stopped. The I am can't be defeated. The I am can't be held back. Praise God. And he will bring about those results. Amen. And I'm thankful that's who we put our trust in. Whoops, I forgot some fill-ins here. The wind blows today around the world, and the Holy Spirit still restores the dead to life and brings hope to broken spirits. Praise God. And that promise that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and the promise that Peter repeated, the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. That's what we put our trust in today. And thank the Lord, it's still real. It's still happening. It's still being fulfilled. And regardless of the culture or country, regardless of the continent, God is pouring out his Spirit. Praise God. And the power of the Lord being fulfilled in a tremendous way. And thank God we can see it happening right here. We are seeing it happening. Praise God. The power of the Lord is awesome. Brother Farmer has a youth meeting going on right now. And they're using their new building in Norvik. Well, it's restored. Well, remodeled. It's a house that they remodeled. But he FaceTimed me yesterday, and the beginning of the service, there's 40 kids showed up. 40 kids. Amen. And the sound of prayer, the sound of worship, the sound of praise. Praise God. It was incredible. There are all these kids praising and worshiping the Lord. Workers from the Anchorage area there with them. And Brother Farmer walking around with his phone and the big smile on his face, showing what was going on. God's still working. God's still restoring. God's still pouring out his Spirit. Praise God. And I'm thankful that his promise in his word, and Ezekiel writing it four times. No, he must have wondered, what's that going to be like? Is it going to happen in my time? And am I going to see it among all the people of Israel? Praise God. You know, prophets and kings, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, prophets and kings desire to look into the things that they were seeing. They hadn't seen it yet. But thank God the Lord fulfills his word. And we may have to wait sometimes longer than we want to. But keep holding on. Keep proclaiming the word of God. Keep believing what God's doing. Amen. And he will bring it to pass. Thank the Lord. Does he give you the desires of your heart? Yes, he does. Does he forsake the righteous and have their seed begging for bread? No, he doesn't. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their young begging for bread. Praise God. Because the Lord's faithful. Faithful to his word. Psalm 107, verse 20 is just a beautiful promise from the word of God. He sent his word. Oh, man. There's a whole message there. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from what? Their destructions. How often we bring destruction on ourselves. How often our choices are poor and misdirected and influenced by the deceiver. But the Lord says, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to leave you in that mess. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. Praise God. And that's the word that we keep holding on to. That's the word we keep proclaiming. Because we know when you repent, the Lord forgives. When you're baptized, your sins are remitted. And when you reach out to receive from the Lord, he fills you with the Holy Ghost. We know Acts 2:38 works. Amen. Because we had it happen in our lives. And we've seen it happen in many, many other lives. Amen. And the power of the Lord as God restores. Amen. And so we'll keep holding on for the blessings of the Lord to come forth in a powerful way as he desires to fulfill his word. Amen. Thank the Lord for the blessings that he brings forth and how he continues to display his power. What a great God we serve. Let's give him praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your great name, Lord. Praise your great name. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Stay with the word of the Lord. Amen. Keep Sister Sherry in prayer. She's traveling with her family to Washington. Keep Sister Eichert, Elder Sister Eichert in prayer. They're still trying to determine how to deal with her heart. The two valves that need to be replaced. She's obviously up in years, and they're cautious about how to approach that. We're thankful for Brother Cliff. We want to continue praying for him. God would do the work, amen. For Brother Paul, God would bring healing and strength in their lives, amen. Brent Nichols, that the Lord would continue to help him recover from surgery, and Bill, recover from pneumonia. Sister Bobby called, and her son Jeremiah injured his knee severely, and he needs prayer. And Bo's wife, Paula, had gallbladder surgery, and she needs prayer. And we'll believe God to do a work for her. Amen. He's a God of every crisis. Amen. And thank the Lord we can put our trust in him. Raise your hand if you have a need. We'll just believe God for every need, every situation. Stand together now, and let's